In class, I hope you can follow your notes because we're going to try to take off a little bit with what we continue or try to continue a little bit from where we ended last week. We dealt with sin, we dealt with the power, the difference between sin against power and sin against authority. But now we need to go, we need to find the origin of this. Where does all this rebellion come from? Why we got to deal with this in this earth realm? And so this next lesson is going to talk about the origin of Satan. And your flow, if you stay connected with me, we're going to see a pattern here, and we're going to see exactly what happened to cause us to get this interference in the spirit, having to deal with sin and authority and rebellion and subjection. And just opposing and just coming against God and not pleasing God, not submitting to our spiritual leaders and causing uprisings in the church. We're going to try to find out where all this come from. All right? So I need you to turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 14. I think you're going to see some things in Isaiah 14 that are going to help us to better understand why and where the source of this rebellion come from. You know, you want to get to the bottom of something, you go to the source of it. And you see exactly the root cause of it. We're going to begin at verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. It begins saying, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation?" He sure did. "For thou hast said," underline these words. Every time I get here, I need you to underline these words. Thou, we're talking about the fall of Lucifer, the fall of Satan. How he became who he was. "For thou hast said in thine heart," now, underline the first statement. Now, I want to underline, every time you see the word, "I will," underline it. Because "I will," "I will," "I will." These words are anti-God. Because these words are built on selfish motive. We're going to go into these two words more as we continue this class. He said, "I will descend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north." You see it? Satan, opposing God, making himself equal with God, competing with God, is the thing that caused Satan to lose his position. And the scripture say, God said, "I will have no other God before me." God's a jealous God. God will put up with you for a little bit. He's long-suffering. I'm talking about people now. I'm not talking about Satan. God will put up with your rebellion for a little bit, your opposing spiritual thing for a little bit, your opposition to doing what you're supposed to do for a little bit. But finally, God's going to get enough of it, and he's going to have to deal with it. "I will," 14 verse, not through yet. "I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will." Now, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. "I will be like the Most High." And I'm going to add the word Most High God because that's who he was talking about. You see that? Do you see it? Now, let me give you some pointers here. Now, pay close attention, take some good notes here, because you're going to hear and see some of these things again. The archangel turned into Satan when he overreached God's authority, number one, competed with God, number two, and because of those two things, he became the adversary of God. Now, same principle that holds to rebellion today. Rebellion comes by two things. Number one, it comes by overreaching God's authority. When you're not submitted to God's authority and you overreaching God's delegated authority, saying, I'm going to do what the heck I want to do as overreaching God's authority. And then competing with God by doing what you want to do. See, that's the principle. And it still holds true today. Satan, he did not do anything different with his temptation. He's just duplicating his temptation in our minds and our thoughts of the terrible fall that he had. And he's trying to gather as many followers as he can with the same principle that caused him to fail and caused him to separate himself from God. Now, here's a good question that I can ask. What was the cause of Satan's fall? And I'm answering for you. Rebellion was the cause of Satan's fall. Rebellion. Both Isaiah 14:12-15 and Ezekiel 28:13-17 speak of the rise and fall of Satan. The first passage, though, lays stress on how Satan violated God's authority, while the second passage emphasized his trespass against God's holiness. See, that's the second thing I was talking about. Satan committed two crimes. He came against God. Came against God's throne or his authority, and the second violation was when he trespassed against God's holiness. That's not being able to have a right standing with God again. See, you caused the trespass against God's holiness. To offend God's authority is the rebellion far more serious than that of offending God's holiness. I alluded to that a little bit earlier, what the difference between God's holiness and God's authority. God's holiness is sin against God's command, against God's word. You see it? Against God's act. You see it? God's act is different from God's authority. God's act is the result of his authority. His word is the release of his authority. So when you sin against God's word, his command, you sin against God's holiness. You see it? So it's a greater violation when you sin against God's authority than when you sin against God's holiness. Because I said earlier, you sin against God's holiness, God made provision for that. Jesus became the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus came to come undo the work of Satan. Jesus came to put us back in right standing with God. And Jesus came to restore unto righteousness. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus came to repair, rebuild, replace, put us back in right standing with God. You see it? So Jesus made provision for sin, even sin against God's holiness, even sin against living right and morally right. You see it? Because God said Jesus was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin. So Jesus knows what we go through on a daily basis when it comes to trying to live right and holy. But he doesn't have anything to do with rebellion. See, he'll deal with our right standing with God by making us right again. You see, he's our advocate. Over in 1 John, talk about him being our advocate. But at the same time, he opposes when we rebel against him. You see it? He's all merciful, all kind, all loving. But yet, there's another, as a flip side to Jesus, he's coming back to judge all those that rebel against God. See, he's not only the righteous one, but he's the righteous judge. All right? So, God's holiness is a matter of our conduct. So, we're going to find out that sin is more easily forgiven. Sinning is more easily forgiven than rebellion. Sinning. When I say sinning, I'm talking about normal, everyday sinning. We spoke to our wife wrong, spoke to our husband wrong, mishandled our children somewhere. We just dealt with our co-workers wrong. Whatever it was, you don't like your mother-in-law. Whatever it is, you see, God can deal with that because that's falling under the pattern of our conduct, our way of life. And he knows we haven't come to a place of perfection yet. But there's a line that you can cross when you come to God's rebellion. You see it? You're either for God or you're against him. Ain't no middle line you can straddle when it comes to God's authority. You see, you're either for or against. I remember we're going to see some episodes in the book of Numbers where they came against Moses, and a lot of people crossed the line. Oh, they crossed the line. 20,000 died one time. Then Moses made a statement, separate yourself from these people. Get back on the other side of the line, trying to help them. You see it? Because these people oppose God. Oh, we're going to see so much in these lesson class. We're going to see too much. So, but I need you to understand that I need to show the difference between sin against God's holiness, because sometimes people think they're in rebellion because they don't understand this, what we talk about here. Rebellion, it's a whole nother, if I use this phrase, a whole nother horse. It's a whole nother sin that you don't like, you don't need to affiliate yourself with. It's against, it's opposing, it's rebelling, you see it? And so we need understanding in this area here, because God don't want us to walk the way of rebellion, because the punishment is always, destructive. And God has to deal with you in ways he don't want to deal with you. God have to almost turn his back on you. Yeah. But you know, he'll let you go for a while, hoping you'll repent and get things right because of his mercy and his grace. He give people opportunity upon opportunity. He's long-suffering. But you come to a point where you see you're not going to turn, God has to deal with you. He always gives you space to repent. And the only way you get out of rebellion is to repent. I remember Apostle told this story. He said this man came up to him. He didn't know anything what was going on. The man fell on his knees. He said, I need you to forgive me because I put my mouth on you and nothing been going right for me. He said, he don't even know what the man was talking about because he just keep going. He just keep living. He don't hold nobody in his heart. And so he said, man, I'll forgive you. The man said, thank you so much. But he had to do that to get freed up because everything was shutting down on him. He knew, that man knew he had to escape, you see, but he thought he was sinning against just a man. No, that was the lesson that. He was sinning against a man of God, and God had to deal with it because that man of God, our apostle, and many other spiritual leaders, they represent God's authority. And when those leaders represent God's authority, you're not coming against God, against them. You're coming against the God that's in them, and God got to deal with it. Just like they dealt with people with Moses. You see it? And I go on and on with Joshua. I go on all and on of the kings. You see, I go all and on against Peter. You see it? Be careful what you do with these men. Gamaliel said this. You might find yourself fighting that word against God. You see it? Gamaliel had insight. Say, be careful. Don't touch these men, because you might find yourself fighting against God. Well, let me go on now. I just have to bring it to that point that sin is more easily forgiven than rebellion. I'm going to tell you why. Let me get to my note. Because rebellion, it's a matter of principle. You see? It's the principle that we talked about earlier, Satan competing with God, made himself equal with God, and wanted to be like the Most High God, wanted to set his throne above the throne of God, and all everything such like. That's the principles that you deal with when you come to rebellion, and you put yourself in the class of satanic functioning, satanic principle. Rebellion is a satanic principle. What I said? I said rebellion is a satanic principle. So anytime you're operating in the principle of rebellion, you're operating a satanic principle. God had nothing to do with it. All right? And if you got good sense, if you know somebody rebellious, functioning disorderly, opposing spiritual leaders, my instruction is, separate yourself from them. You know why? Because a little leaving can leave in the whole lump. Rebellion is what? We're going to find out later on. It's contagious. More deadly than any disease. You see it? Some people think this coronavirus is contagious. No. It has nothing, no comparison to rebellion. You see it? It's a daily disease. And if you know anyone that's contaminated with rebellion, you want to, ain't no mask can protect you from this. You see it? If you know anyone that contaminated with it, you want to separate yourself as far as you can. Sometimes you want to help them, but you can't help them. Sometimes they're too far into what they believe, and you can't help them. If you can, help them, but if you can't, just get away from it. Separate yourself like God told, like Moses told Korah, like the people that were with Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Separate yourself from these men. He knew he couldn't help the men, but he tried to help the people. That was, and some of them, and listen now, some of them were with Korah and the gang and didn't know why they were with them. They were with them because other people went with them. Don't follow people just because a crowd followed and looked like it's a good idea. And no, don't do that. You put yourself in the wrong position. And I wish I had more to say about this, but I need to stick with my lesson here. Now, Satan's intent, we're talking about the principles now. Satan's intent of setting his throne above the throne of God was the thing which violated God's authority. It was the principle of self-exaltation. Now, that's another good question. You see it? Satan's intent of setting his throne above the throne of God was the thing that violated God's authority, the principle of self-exaltation. What is the principle of self-exaltation? It was when Satan violates God's authority by setting his throne above God's throne. Satan had a throne, yeah. God had exalted him. Yes, he did. And sometimes that's when people get in trouble. When God begins to exalt you a little bit, sometimes you think you're equal to authority. I just stayed a mouthful of this now. Sometimes you think you're equal. That's the old world is saying. I put my pants on just like him. I heard a man say that on the job when I was working secular job. I put my pants on just like him, one leg at a time, showing you I'm equal with you. No. God has ranks of authority. And God will not let less than one that below authority correct them. You see it? Now we're gonna find out why the angels couldn't correct Lucifer. You know why? That in the scripture we saw Jude talks about it. Because equal cannot correct equals. You need to learn that lesson. Authority supposed to correct. You see it? Don't try to correct things yourself. No, let authority do the correcting. It's something about, you know, we as ministers here, we try to help people best we can. You know, we try to pray with people, you know, in counseling session. But it's not like when an apostle talked to them. Boy, they straighten up. Something about that higher authority. No more say, yes, sir, apostle. I'm more like the word you say. I've been there a few times. Yeah, they don't listen to me, but they listen to the apostle. That's a higher authority, you see? You see, and these people sometimes, they think you equal with them, but they're not. But they haven't learned submission yet. You see? They haven't learned who's in authority. I like what Brother Nee said. He said, whenever you walk in a room, he said, find out who's in authority that you may obey them. I said, wow. That's so far from the church, because everybody even Stephen. Everybody even Stephen. Nobody respect nobody because they think everybody even. We made out the same clay. Yeah, but that's an anointing that separates us. And ministers have a calling of God. And so laymen are not equal with those that God has separated. But everybody's got a revelation. And so a lot of time you walk in the room, everybody even Stephen, and nobody respect authority. And so you can't correct them. But they understand the apostolic, and so the church gonna come to a higher level of maturity. When they be able to walk in the room, like Brother White when he said, and he said to himself, who in authority did I may submit? You see it? Because I don't want to get in an error here. And sometimes I learned the fewer words you say, the better off you are. Some people just talk too much. Now I don't know how I got off on that. You just run them out, every revelation they got. And the people don't want to hear your revelation all the time. You see it? No, because sometimes you try to use the principle of self-exaltation, and you don't want to use that principle. The act of sinning, let me go on a little bit now. The act of sinning was not the cause of Satan's fall. Say, what? Say, you got me now, Reverend Gautreaux. The act of sinning was not the cause of Satan's fall. That act was but the product of his rebellion against authority. See, I'm going to explain that. The act of sinning was not the cause of Satan's fall. The act was only a product of the rebellion. You see what I'm saying? In other words, the act became just a sin, but his heart was causing the fall. You see it? So you can sin without the principle of rebellion in place. I wish you could understand that. Before we go, the class end, you're going to understand just what I said here. You got to get down deep enough for you to understand. All right? The act was but the product of his rebellion against authority. It was rebellion which God condemned. God don't condemn just your sin. He condemned the sin of rebellion. Now, I hope that makes sense. God don't just condemn your sin, because God been forgiving sin for centuries, for millions of years. Well, I don't know if we've been here that long. For hundreds of years, thousands of years. But it's the rebellion that he condemned. God loved the sinner, but he hates the rebellion that's in people's heart. You see it? The sin was only a product of the rebellion. God can deal with sin, but he cannot deal with rebellion. I'm showing how. Ah, boy, it's so powerful. In serving God, you can mix this up now. You don't want to mix this up. Because we all try to serve God. Most of us in this school because we want to serve God to another level. We want to serve God to another degree, another level of maturity. That's why we're in this school, to sit under apostolic anointing on our apostle, because he's shown us the way to do it properly. Yeah, there's a right way to do things. You see it? And God has shown him so much of the right way that the church world needs to see and hear what he's saying. But we all want to serve in our various churches, under our various spiritual leaders. But watch this now. Why this point I'm about to say here? It's because it's very important. It's so important, I got it underlined in green. I don't know what green means, but that's what color I got it in. I can see it good. In serving God, we must not violate authorities. You mean I can violate authority and serve over people, do it every day. Because to do so is the principle of Satan when I violate authority. Now why this statement? Oh, I'm gonna give you a question in the statement form. How can we preach Christ according to Satan's principle? I'm asking that question. How can we preach Christ? I'm preaching Christ. But according to Satan's principle, is it possible for me to preach Christ, Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection according to a satanic principle? Yes, it is. And I'm glad you asked that question. Let me tell you right now. It is possible in our work to stand with Christ in doctrine while at the same time stand with Satan in principle. That's your answer right there. We can stand with Christ in doctrine. I believe every word the Bible says. But yet, stand with Satan in principle. Why? Now, I can explain this one way. No, more than one way. But I got to go to this scripture in Matthew. You're going to need to see this. This bothered me a long time. You know why it bothered me? Because I've been with apostles for a few years. I've seen ministers come. I've seen ministers go. I've seen ministers come. I've seen ministers go. I'm going to say it one more time. I've seen ministers come. Say, oh, I'm with your apostle. Which way are we going? We going that way? I'm going that way. Which way are we going? We going this way? Yes, I'm going with you that way. And it sounds good. Oh, they give a good testimony. Oh, they tell him how much they love him and how much they with him. But when the first little shaking go on, they get uprooted. When the first correction come along, they can't take it. You see it? And so they say this. God, and boy, I heard this for so many times. You try to help people sometimes, but you can't. And this is the favorite word. You know, God just sent me here for a season. But sometimes I don't believe God do things for a season. I believe in planting. You ever plant a tree for a season and say, I just plant you here for a little while, I'm going to dig you up after a few years. No. They that plant in the house of the Lord, they're the one that flourish. Plant it. Meaning put roots down. Grow and develop. I'm gonna tell you my scripture for this. I dealt with this for many years. And I want to get this before my time is up. I got to show you the scripture in Matthew 7:21, but I got to show you the scripture Elijah 19. No, 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, the Bible taught, I'm just gonna paraphrase it. The prophet Elijah went to anoint Elisha, his servant. You see it? And he found him with 12 yokes of oxen plowing in the field. And he passed by him, and he cast his mantle upon him, and he kept on going. I know he kept on going because the Bible said Elisha ran after him. Why would somebody run after him if they're still right there? So I know he kept on going. And so he ran after him, and Elijah said, I did not call you. Go back again. I said, wow. Most people would have lost it right there. Go back again. What have I got to do with thee? The Bible says he went back, and then he made a decision. He cut up his yokes and built a fire and sacrificed those oxen. And then he followed the man of God. And see, in other words, I say this, he ran without a revelation. He ran without, who told you to follow me? I didn't tell you to follow me. He had to go find out why he wanted to follow him. He had to come to the revelation that God told him to follow this man of God. See, you got to come to a revelation. Who told you to follow him? If God told you, stick with him. Stay with him. Where are you going? Why are you leaving? So what happened here now? Elijah, the prophet. Now, I got to say this because I'm prompt to say this. Elijah, the prophet, said, the Lord sent me to Bethel. You stay here. This over in 2 Kings. The other one was in 1 Kings 19. This in 2 Kings, I think, 1st chapter or 2nd chapter. The Lord sent me to Bethel. You stay here. He said, no. As long as the Lord liveth, as long as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Bob, the two went on together. He did it again. The Lord sent me somewhere else. Lost him in somewhere. He said, no, you're not leaving me here. So where did Elijah get that revelation from? As long as the Lord liveth, as long as that soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He got it in that plow field. He had to make a plow field decision. And what decision was? Lord, who told me to follow? You telling me to follow him? You want me to follow him? I'm following him. And the Lord probably told me his word. Look, as long as I live, now listen to me close now, Claire. As long as thy soul live, as long as you live, I don't want you to leave him. And some people didn't get that memo. They never got that memo. They never made a plow field decision. They never made a lifelong commitment to their man of God. You see it? You see, when you become a part of a man of God's vision, you should grow in that vision. Your children should birth in that vision. Your children should grow up in that vision. Their children should grow up in that vision. I'm still going. And their children should grow up in that vision. A lifelong commitment. That's what I'm talking about. I was able to do that years ago. When I came to the ministry, my wife and I, we were young. Our first child was 1 year old. We came to the ministry. Now he's 40. He got his children in the ministry. They're too young to do anything, but his children are growing up in the children's church. You see that? Generation. People come in and they say, the Lord sent me. But the first little fly-by-night thing, somebody offer them something, they want to jump on the wagon and go. And God didn't tell them nothing. So let me get back to my other point now. So sometimes people leave the ministry. I've seen ministers come and go, say God told them to come. I didn't mean to say all this tonight, but you need to hear this. And he said, the Lord told me to come. And soon the little offender come. Soon the little offense come. Soon the pastor, the apostle, the church, spiritual leader say the wrong thing. Then all of a sudden, God just sent me here for a season. And I would ask the Lord this. They will start these churches now. Now I'm getting back to Matthew 7. They will start these churches. And some of them look like they're prospering a little bit. They're flourishing. But they didn't leave right. They left in rebellion. I know they left in rebellion because they end up putting their mouth on the apostle, the man of God. I know that wasn't right. Until I found the scripture in the 7th chapter of Matthew. It answered my question. How can people leave in rebellion, start churches, and look like they're doing okay? You see it? God, you must not know that they're in rebellion. I used to wonder that many years. God, you must not know what they said about our apostle, my man of God. God, you must know. Someone was a good friend of mine. That's another thing. I had to separate myself. When people leave, I don't keep contact with them no more. If they separate from apostles, they've separated from me. I don't care how close a friend. I'm teaching more than I'm saying. Some people still try to be friends with people of rebellion, of wrong heart. No, I'm not going to follow people that's anti my apostle. I'm not following people. I love them from a distance, yeah. But I'm not following you. I'm not going to your church services. Don't even give me no more invite to your little gathering because I'm not going. Because I don't want you putting nothing in my ear gate that I'm going to have to deal with. You see it? I'm saying more than you're listening. Listen to me, class. And so now, I find the scripture. I'm almost there, Lord. Thank you. in the seventh chapter of Matthew, Matthew 7, just help me. The Lord helped me. He helped me with this scripture here because I looked for it for so long. And he showed it to me one day. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus is in the red. Jesus said, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Look what the 22nd verse said. "And many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Lord said, "You sure did." "In thy name, have we not cast out devils?" Lord said, "You sure did." "And in my name, done many wonderful works?" Lord said, "You sure did." But I like what that 23rd verse said. "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you." I said, "Oh my God, this is it. I never knew you." He said, "Depart from me." I'm not saying he's going to hell. "But ye that worketh iniquity, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity." You see it? So I'll get back to my other statement now. Is it possible? In our work to stand with Christ in doctrine at the same time with Satan in principle? Yes, it is. I hope you see it, Claire. I did my best to show it to you. I said more than I wanted or intended to say. We're going to the laundry and everything. But I want to make the picture so crystal clear that you can stand with Christ in doctrine, but stand with Satan in principle. And that's a trick of the enemy to make them think they're just equal with their leaders. But spiritually they're not. Spiritually not. God got to deal with some things of theirs. God got to deal with them, and they don't know that they're on a short leash. You know what a short leash means? The time is short. What do you mean? Judgment day coming. God got to judge them if they don't get things right. We've seen some of them try to make attempt to come back, but they pride. Oh Jesus. They pride wouldn't let them come back and get before the man of God like this other man did. Get on your knees. You ain't got to get on your knees. They said, "I said some things about you I shouldn't say. I'm sorry." If maybe one of you out there said some wrong thing about your apostle, your pastor, your spiritual leader, and that thing is on you right now. You need to make it right because if you don't get it right, nothing gonna work for you. And God got to deal with. God always deal with rebellion, be it short time or be it long. It's a principle. And sometimes God gives people space to repent, a grace to repent. I don't know how much farther I can go, Claire. Maybe I can make one more statement. Yeah, listen to this statement here. This is my one more statement I'm going to make. Then we'll close right here and see you next week. How very wicked for us to assume that we are doing the work of the Lord. Please take note that Satan is not afraid of our preaching the word of Christ, yet how very much he is in fear of our being subject to the authority of Christ. Now, that's a good place to end. I like to end the positive. So, Satan don't want us to get in a place of subjection because we're working twofold. We're connected by doctrine, and we're connected by authority, by submitting to proper authority. Class, I hope you understand where we're going with these lessons. And I hope you open your heart to understand what we're saying here. And we got scripture to show you exactly what we're saying. And catch a hold of this. It's going to enhance your life personally. It's going to enhance the ministry that you're in. It's going to enhance your relationship with your spiritual leader because you're going to be a help. Some people think they help and they hindrances. And that's why some of you are in the school. Because you don't want to be a hindrance. In your heart, you don't want to be a hindrance. You want to be a help. But that's levels of submission. And God wants to walk in these levels of submission. I made a statement, and just a good closing statement. And I say this to myself, And I've said it publicly. I trust my spiritual leader so much that I follow him with blindfolds, because I know his heart. You got to know your leader's heart. I follow him with blindfolds on. You understand that much? Yep. I follow him with blindfolds on. You see, not everybody can say that because they don't trust the spiritual leader. But I got one I can trust. I got apostles I can trust. I trust in my family, trust in my children, my household, everything. We trust his leadership. We believe in what he say and what he do, and we committed to the work of God. Okay, Claire, as far as I can go today, and I'll see you next week.